Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Welcome back, scholars, to The Lucky Die. Previously, Lafian learns of forbidden magic, Rao learns about Kesa, Squash reads alone, and Zoltana reads out about Valkyrie's swords. Each of the team get to spend time in the library, researching a new body for Calimorn, what Demi and the Seven are turning into, the origins of the Fourfold, and the creation of the world. However, questions answered lead only to more questions. Is there a way to decouple a god from a person? Is there someone with the blood of Calimorn in their veins? And why did Comyn never return to the library? I guess we're about to find out. Welcome back to The Lucky Die.
Standing in the library, you've managed to stop Lisbet from casting her teleportation because you've realized that Comyn is not with you. As you look out the door of the library, you see that the sun has kind of begun to set. You've been here a while. And you see Comyn's unconscious form at the base of the obelisk. What do you want to do?
That's a problem.
What was she doing out there?
Studying the obelisks.
Squash is going to walk to the door and he's looking around for anything that might have caused this. Squash is not exiting the ruins or the library.
A smart move. As you look around, like the darkness, not so much of a problem for you right now. You notice that Comyn is just lying unconscious on the ground. There is a scroll and some spilled ink that has gone over the notes that she has made. The obelisk is covered in various runes and words, which most of which you can't read, unfortunately. You don't see anyone or anything else around. You only see the footprints in the sand made from your party as you arrived, and also the kind of more subtle, older prints of Marnak and Lisbet when they arrived.
Yeah.
Zoltana, are you able to summon your steed? Could you have your steed grab Comyn? Is that an option?
Maybe? I could try. I'll call for Electo.
Alecto hasn't been with you. Alecto just seems to hang out on the periphery of your vision for most of the time. It's like you'll turn around, you'll see Alecto just like slinking off in the background. They're always there, but they're not as friendly as your former companion was.
Yeah, Miss Karuna.
As you kind of like begin to look, poor Karuna, as you begin to look about for Alecto, you see them just kind of squash and looks up and notices that Alecto has like her head settled on her paws, just sitting at the top of a dune.
I'm going to walk up and be like, can you help me with Carmen?
Alecto stands up and stretches, and then she kind of very gracefully slides down the sand dune, grabs Carmen by the back of the neck, and drags her into the library.
I'm going to immediately check for a pulse.
She is still alive.
Can I do an aura sight reading? See if anything seems off?
Yeah, sure, but link it for me, and then I can tell you exactly what you'll learn.
That's just the advantage on insight checks.
I'm not sure that you could really insight an unconscious person.
Okay. In that case, Laughing's just going to reach down and put two fingers on each side of her temple and just give, let's say, one psi point of healing.
Yep, that's perfectly fine.
So one psi
point. As you focus on bringing her back to consciousness, there's a very like imperceptible movement of her hair just round by where your fingertips are, and her eyes open and she wakes with a little bit of a gasp.
Carmen, are you all right?
I and she looks around wary, and she looks up at the many of you that are around her. Yes, I think I'm fine, all things considered.
You passed
happened?
Out.
She begins to very slowly sit up. Yes, I remember feeling very faint, and then something kind of hit me in the chest, and she looks down, and there's no signs, there's no markings, there's nothing. Like some sort of energy hit me. Whew, very peculiar.
Did you write some bad magic?
No, I was translating the obelisk. I don't remember what I read. I don't remember any of it, actually. And she looks very disturbed. She looks out at the obelisk again.
You had it written down,
and
I think.
She kind of like looks over because Alecto grabbed her and not all of her notes, and you can see that there is a parchment and quill, and that there very clearly has been ink spilled across this page.
Damn.
Does anybody have no, Squash wouldn't know about this, but does anybody have anything like Mage Hand?
To do what?
Pull the parchment back in without leaving the room.
Yeah, I'll do that if I can. I'll use Mystic Hand and just grab it.
Absolutely, you can. A kind of mystical version of Balance's hand like reaches out and, yeah, you can grab the ink and the parchment and the quill, whatever you wish. When you bring it forth, you can see that the page itself is just obliterated with all of this ink. There's very few words left remaining. The things that you can still spot are things like the bloodied. You can also see Inquisitor. You can also see... Nope, that's it. That's all you'd see with the ink. Like, you can just see odd words here and there.
Carmen, is this important? From what you recall?
It was something about us, it sounded like.
As she looks over at you, I think so. It mentioned
Zaltana
the bloody vengeance.
For sure.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. The Balanced Inquisitor. I assume by your attire, and she kind of like gestures to all of Laffian. There was also the Long Death and the Hidden, and I assume that means the pair of you, but I can't be sure.
In that case,
And Laffy will, like, turn to Elizabeth and just say, can you give me 10 minutes?
What for?
I want to try to see what happened.
They look, she looks at Marnak and he shrugs and nods. Let's see what he does.
Okay. I guess we can wait a few minutes.
Okay. Laffian's gonna sit cross-legged and place the parchment of paper on his lap and use one of his abilities that he hasn't used his entire podcast.
You mean never successfully used? Is that the one?
No. This one doesn't require a roll.
Ah,
the history
yes,
reading
one.
Requires a roll. This one, though, does not require a roll. Let me read it out. Starting, this is a third level ability to give you an idea.
I was about to say, thing says
never worked.
Third level.
This has never come up.
Uh-huh. You can focus your mind to read the psionic imprint left on an object. If you hold the object and concentrate for 10 minutes, you learn a few basic facts about it. You gain a mental image from the object's point of view, showing the last creature to hold the object within the past 24 hours. You also learn of any events that have occurred within 20 feet of the object within the past hour. The events you perceive unfold from the object's perspective. You see and hear such events as if you were there but can't use other senses. The rest of it's all that little GPS tracker
other
thing.
Stuff,
but...
Yeah, okay. As you begin to do this and you sense yourself into the object, it takes that 10 solid minutes of actual concentration, similar to the same level of concentration you had way back when you had to concentrate exceptionally hard to be able to talk with Marnak in that safe space. You blink and the darkness goes and you find yourself looking up at Common. You are rested on a board of some sort. You can see very clearly the quill that is kind of moving across your pages. She looks worried. She's muttering something quietly under her breath. It could be celestial. It could be anything. But celestial would be your best guess. It has that musical tone to it. You see Common walking around. You know this is a walk because you can see the stars moving behind her as you're looking up. She reaches across as if she's touching the obelisk itself. And she mutters, "The hidden. Maybe that's that small one. It must be." But then...
No, they're coming.
And then she continues pacing around. And she goes, Ah, if that is that, then this is a warning. No, this isn't a warning. This... As she reaches out and touches the obelisk, and she goes flying backwards. And that's the last that you see, except the stars.
Hmm. Laughing comes out of it and goes, "All right. Common, you were saying that it was a warning of some sort."
"A warning?"
"You were saying something about the hidden and thinking that it was the smaller one, which I assume is that one," looking at Squash.
Squash like, in the background.
"Yes. I wonder, though. If it is a warning, if that's what you saw, if that's the magic you just did you see anything else? Anything else that might be useful? Any words I uttered? Anything, really? Is there anything else you can give me?"
"That was basically it, unless I'm having really short-term memory loss."
Okay. If it is a warning, and it's a warning for, about, with,
she said
involving
it's not a
the four of you.
After she said it's a warning, by the way, Arch.
Oh, maybe it's not, yeah.
Maybe it's not.
If it is, even if it isn't, I would like to stay and finish the translation. I will be a lot more careful this time. I'll not touch it."
"If you go back outside there, you may not be able to come back in here."
"She won't." Benbar speaks up from behind you.
"Oh, do you know what that obelisk is about?"
"It's information about certain people."
"We think it's us."
He raises an eyebrow. Oh, perhaps you should have. Of course you wouldn't have known. It's information about, much like the Sentinels, there are four of them. And there are four people who become significant in the end days. It's information about them and instructions for the librarians here. I have never read it myself. Unfortunately, I was rushed into this position shortly before Okuma died. I never got a chance to read it myself, but the other librarians, perhaps I shall be able to ask them and send you information along once I have.
I think that may be a good idea. Based on the descriptions, it definitely sounds like it was describing the four of us.
Then I shall get the instructions from the others and either send what you need or do whatever tasks it asks of me, even if it means leaving the library.
Very well. Common, do you wish to stay here?
I think I do. I never got the chance to study this wonderful library, and perhaps when Benbar moves, I could leave with. I'd very much like to study this obelisk where I can, and who knows when if I get another chance.
Understood. Take a look around the library. Perhaps somebody else transcribed it as well.
That is a wise thought. I will see if I can find this. Perhaps that would help you also, Benbar. Yes, we shall work together, sure, half the load of the work.
And telepathically to Common, he's just going to say to her, if things ever get dangerous, try to find Lisbeth and also Monarch. They can get you out of here if things get dangerous.
She nods. I realize she can't respond to you.
Mm-hmm.
She just nods once in your direction. She understands what you're saying.
All right. Is there anything else we need to do here, or should we go?
Refresh my memory. Were we going to go straight to Damarius, or were we going back to Falsum?
Lisbeth was going to return you back to Falsum, because whatever potion it is that...
Right, we need help making it.
Raoul has, you cannot find the ingredients on Damarius.
All right, thank you.
And
sorry.
To be fair, you don't actually know if that potion is actually going to work.
Yep.
Remind me,
I don't know
what
is wrong with him.
To save Runrunra.
Right.
It's a potion that should help to heal a dragon. It wouldn't exactly be common knowledge, but it would be knowledge enough that your standard healing potion probably wouldn't work on a dragon.
It has to be bigger. Much bigger.
Bigger. Four times.
Four times healing.
Right. Okay, we were going to go back to Falsum, and then Kythea, your alchemist friend, and I think we also said we were going to get Emil involved.
Extra strength.
Maybe.
Gives
between
you
the
wings.
Three of them, maybe someone knows.
Yeah, someone should be able to help, like, create this potion for sure.
The future avatar of death may potentially be the one to know how to stop death.
Death. Yeah, one hopes. Okay. If there is nothing else, if nobody wants to trade out the books they have, because you've, you know, had 2 weeks to think about if this was the right choice or not, I'm going to teleport your butts to Falsum.
True names.
True names.
I'm very happy with
mine. Okay, then. All right. And away to Falsum you go.
Whoa.
Through the stalking.
Whoa.
As you travel through the stalking, as Lisbeth kind of sends you merrily on your way, you notice strangely that none of your specters are around.
Oh, don't say that.
There is no one to wave at you, nobody to say hello, nobody to give you rock hands. They have seemingly just not there. Or they may be too far out of your periphery, but Scorch's ridiculous natural perception, they're nowhere around. And you find yourselves in Falsum. You find yourselves just on the surface, just outside of the Witcher Society.
No, why are we... No.
I don't know where you want to go. You did Della.
The temple. How the fuck are we supposed to get down there otherwise?
You could walk, Your Highness.
That's a long way. You remember how long it took us?
No.
I do not have enough dragon's hand to walk all the way down there. I'm not interested.
We had to go through the sewers. What if there's more spiders? Ral's going to pass out again.
All right, you find yourselves in the temple. That's fine. Someone would have told her. Like, no one gave me any directions. You just went where I consider Faustin to be, outside, because that's in the very middle. Yeah, you find yourselves in the temple just outside of the mirror room. It's very quiet. There's very few people around and about up at this time of night.
Oh, okay. Fuck, it's nighttime.
So we need to get a bunch of ingredients, right? And we need to gather Emile, Scott, and who was the other archivist lady?
There's a guy who came here fairly recently to set up a shop. He's an alchemist and so is his partner. They seemed pretty good when I spoke to them.
A person that came here to set up shop?
I think they're talking about Carsons and Carsons.
Oh, are you...
No, I'm not talking about Carsons. His name is Recky.
Recky. Fuck, why do I know that name?
Because he was the son of the really miserable...
No, okay, it took me as... Okay. All right.
That's fine.
Hold on. It's been a while. That was me, Arch, having a brain fart. When she says that, Laffian's like, wait, I'm sorry. Say that name again?
Recky?
They moved here? No, where? Where? I need to go say hi.
Who?
Honey, it's really late.
Oh shit, you're
perhaps
right.
Perhaps tomorrow.
Right, sorry. I got excited for a second. Recky is the... Actually, Squash, you weren't here when we had that whole discussion, I think. When I was but a wee Inquisitor, there was my first investigation that I did was for a theft from a potion shop. It was a whole ordeal. Basically, I know the owner and his son.
Well, that's very fortunate because we're probably going to have to wake them up.
Right. I don't know how well that's going to go over. I know the father's a bit grumpy.
His father wasn't here. It's just Recky and his partner.
Oh, no. Maybe we should find them then.
Why right now?
And she looks at Squash.
Because Windrandra only has so much time.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Time is of the essence.
And to be fair, looking at this, this could take a few days to make, maybe. I don't know, maybe Rack and maybe Emile have faster ways.
Does anybody know roughly where Emile was last?
Last time I saw him, he was down here in the temple, talking to the drow lady and the human man.
Well, why don't I try to find Emile? And Laffian, you can go talk to Raka? Raku?
Recky.
Recky.
Recky, yeah. yeah.
I understand Elvish names are hard.
Recky. We don't have a lot of time. This needs to get done now. Not only doesn't Windrandra have a lot of time, we don't have a lot of time anymore.
We most certainly don't. Rol, why don't you go get your alchemist friend? Squash, you're going to find Emile, you said?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go talk to Recky, Zoltana. Who do you want to go with? Pick someone to go with. Unless you can think of anybody else that we need.
I'd appreciate if she came with me. I'm not exactly comfortable around Emile.
Yeah, I'll go with you.
I don't know him very well.
Yeah, don't worry. I'll go with Squash.
Thank
Squash
you.
And I are
Thank
buddies.
You. That works.
This is the best buddy cop movie ever. Okay.
It's funny because neither of them
are
cops.
Splitting up and going three ways. We're splitting up and going three ways. So we're going to go talk to Rec and whoever else is there at the shop.
Kathy is
we're
going
to go find Emile Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go speak to Ral's alchemist friend.
Yes.
We're summoning the potion masters.
All right. We assemble the potion masters. Okay. Who wants to go first?
All right. Roll a dice. Everybody roll a d20.
Dice off.
All right.
This went so well last time.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Ah, oh, damn it. Son. That's a waste of a good roll.
Damn, son.
That's the highest I'm going to roll all day.
I got a one.
Good use.
That's the lowest you're going to roll all day.
Carl? You want to hit us up on a roll?
11.
All right, then. Well, this is completely screwed up the system because we have a nat 1 and a 17. All right, we'll go with 18.
Hi.
So, Lafian and Kythea. Kythea takes you up to the surface. It would have been great if you'd started there, right? She takes you up to the surface through the sewers. Sorry.
Would have been nice if I knew that Reki was here.
She takes you to the edge of town, and indeed there is a shop here. The shop is old. It's clearly an old potion shop. There is still a sign hanging out the front with a very old potion vial. The paint is beginning to peel off. The words that were there have been scrubbed away and a new one has been written up there, Rec and Rione. And within the shop, you can see that it's closed and boarded up. There are many potion vials sitting on the surface. You can even see some of them glowing. You hear like a very faint roar and a tinking of glass upon glass. Whoever it is still here this evening.
I don't want to talk about it. Just Laffian knocks on the door.
So you knock on the door and this half-elf man comes to answer. And he's got a frown on his face, but when he sees you, Laffian, he kind of like smiles a bit and then he says, Come in. What are you doing here? Sorry, rude to ask, but...
Apologies to bother you so late at night. My lady friend here informed me that you moved into town, and I wanted to... One, check in, and two, I needed to speak with you about something.
It's awfully late, Your Highness, but... Come in. And he steps back and opens the door. You notice now that he is away from his father, he doesn't have that same scowl. His, like, everything about him seems much more relaxed. His sleeves are rolled up and you can see that his arms are kind of stained with, you know, various ingredients, different colours, some minor burn marks. And currently his hands are covered in his, like, dark green something. He kind of closes the door with his elbow. Awfully late to check in on old acquaintances, I assume. The latter is actually... important? Or is it? If it's not, please leave.
It's quite important, yes. That's why I came immediately when I heard that you were here. Is your father with you as well, or is he back?
We decided that it would be better if he were to stay in Beligbud. I decided it would be better if he stayed in Beligbud. And he smiles.
Understood. Are we the only ones here?
He, like, raises both his eyebrows and kind of just, like, nods and does, like, the half-shrug thing. And then he says, yes, my Rione is, they're currently out foraging for supplies. You know, midnight moon, etc. Come in the back. I'm actually in the middle of something pretty delicate.
Sure.
And he takes the both of you to the back. There are some candles set up around. And you can see there is a lot of that. You know, when you think alchemists, like complicated glassware and Bunsen burners,
alembics,
that's basically what
that
is going on here. Yeah. Like that whole thing is going on. Like there are like that very tiny pieces of parchment which are changing colours as they're sitting in like the various liquids that are brewing. And you can see there's a lot of, you would know pretty quickly, fairly expensive potion ingredients alone, especially from Kythia's intake of breath. Like, oh my God, that costs like 400 gold.
I'm sorry, how much?
It's very evident this guy knows. It's a lot. It's a lot, honey. Oh my God. Huh? yeah. And he's just going to potioning away. He's like tapping things and measuring. And he says, so what can I help with, I guess?
So I'm going to lay it out blunt because I think it's probably the easiest way to do it.
We're trying to gather as many of our alchemist friends that we know as possible. My lady friend Kythea here being one of them.
Very talented too. And she kind of blushes a little bit.
For what?
We need to cure a dragon.
His hands go still. And then he very carefully puts down the ingredients. Puts down the tool he's holding, takes two steps back and turns and looks at you with, like, his hands, like, closed up by his chest. I beg your pardon?
There is a dragon who is sick and dying. Not the one that I had with me prior, not the dragonborn. I'm talking about a full-blown big...
Here's where I stand, Your Highness. We're talking about dragons as if they're real.
They are. I had the same reaction, yes.
Right.
It's a very interesting experience when you meet one face to face. Would not recommend it.
I consider myself adventurous, but not that. Not that adventure. No, okay. So let's put my disbelief aside. Let's pretend I believe you about this dragon stuff. You want me to try and cure a sick dragon?
Well, it won't be just you. It's you, Kythea. We've also got two other friends of ours who are very accomplished alchemists. And we're hoping that you all can put your minds together and take care of this so that we can move on to the rest of the saving the world bit that we're trying to do.
We need four alchemists to make the four times big potion.
Right, it needs to be a very large potion. We need more alchemists.
We need. No, we're going to need your biggest
four
pot.
Times bigger.
We're going to need a bigger boat. For the potion.
I don't know if anybody... What's wrong with this dragon?
We're not entirely sure. It's not something that I can really...
He puts his head in his hand.
How do I explain this? You're probably going to want to talk to the people that are from Daemarius who may have a better explanation than I do.
Dragons are real.
Right.
Dragon is sick.
Right.
You don't know with what.
I don't. There are people that...
And
simply do.
You're hoping that four random alchemists can cure the dragon.
Four amazing alchemists. Accomplished. Smart. Alchemists.
Please, no, stop. Do you happen to have anything that would help?
Someone had a recipe. Remind me, V.
Rawls, definitely. Like, you guys were going for supplies for the
yeah,
people.
You would have handed it
yeah,
over.
Yeah, I would have,
Kythea,
like, copied it
basically
down for
pulls
you.
Out. Yeah. Kythea pulls out the recipe. He's like, yeah, we've got a basic recipe. It's kind of like a really advanced healing potion that should get through the dragon's magical defenses. And he puts his hands up, like, magical defenses, of course.
She's probably the better one to explain these things. I'm good at the convincing part, usually. I know this is a little bit much.
Sure. Okay, how about, Kythea, you catch me up with what's going on, and you bring those other amazingly talented alchemists who might have a fucking clue. How about that?
You want me to send them here?
Yes. All of my equipment is here. We'll have a look through the potion list and see if there... Sorry. We'll have a look through the recipe list and see if I have anything to hand. But if it's a dragon... I can't believe I'm saying this. If it's a dragon, we might need more than what I have in my shop. Oh.
We'll,
four times.
I think it's always interesting when you're around.
I'm going to opt to take that as a compliment.
You should. That's definitely your prerogative. Kythea, why don't we have an infusion of tea and let's figure out how to cure a dragon. And he kind of like goes off to the back. You can hear him rattling around with like china and stuff.
It was lovely seeing you again.
I wish to reserve judgment on that.
That's fair. I get dragon. That a lot these days.
Dragon. Okay.
Turns to Kathy and just, well, it sounds like you've got your work ahead of you. I'm going to go get the others and send them here.
Yeah. Squash is right. We should probably start working on this. There's some complicated things in here and blending some of this together. I haven't even used half of these ingredients, so hopefully Emil and Rao's friend will know a bit more about it.
Didn't we get a name for that tabaxi? I'm pretty sure we got a name.
I think we did.
Well, we did. I don't remember it.
Neil,
I have it.
How could you?
In my notes.
I haven't edited those yet.
Hang on, let's see. Let's see.
Yes, you have.
Have I? No.
Yeah. That's how I know it. I had to rewrite it down.
Oh. It's because I'm a bad friend.
Oh, your friendship was never based on
I didn't write it down either, surprisingly.
Hobgoblin.
Yeah, I don't have it down on my sheet. Then again,
I don't have it down either.
Uh-oh.
Maybe he never did get a name.
Oh,
no.
But, his name, I'm pretty sure you did.
Is Tim.
He has now decided his name is Tim. Bugger, I'm really... all my notes recently have been spot on with names because I've been moving them from column A to column B, and anything before that time is fair game for fuckwittery.
I'll just
okay.
Not use a name.
Just don't... Yeah, don't use his name. That's our problem solving until... Yet. that's fine. We'll deal with the name when it comes up. If it comes up again, then we'll
put
Tim
name?
In and then I'll...
Hi again.
No, please don't do
Wake
that.
Up.
No, please.
Wake
no,
up. No, what's stop, your name?
Okay. So, Laffian, you can definitely be making your way back down to the temple area. And basically, as the other two teams find their respective people, send them up to the potion shop.
Okay.
Because you also need to direct them where it is.
Yes.
All right. So next on the list, then, I'm going to go with Squash and Zoltana because there was a 17 in that pair.
And together we got an 18.
Yes.
But on
technically
average, we got a
16. But either way, you two are going first. All right. Where are you going and who are you trying to hunt down?
So the reason why Squash was going to go for Emil Scott is because Squash is quite quick and he's quite observant. So he might be the quickest person to find Emil Scott if he's not in his usual hiding spots.
Remind me why we're going to see Emil again.
Because we need to make a big ass potion for Venranra.
Oh.
And Emil is a talented... multi-century talented alchemist.
Gotcha.
He might
okay.
genuinely be the key to this whole thing. I'm a little bit afraid that whoever else is joining in are going to be completely out of the depth when Emil enters the room.
Yeah, he's got like pizzazz.
Yeah, like when you swing your sword and when I swing my swords, it's going to be like that kind of difference. It's not even the same grade, same level.
You're right. I'm much better at swords than you are.
Yes.
And thank you for noticing.
I know. Your sword swings have been so graceful recently. I felt the need to mention it.
I appreciate it.
Oh, look, it's Emil Scott over there.
For that complete stupid conversation, you can both have inspiration points.
You're
so dumb.
I haven't gotten an inspiration in like months.
And it was for this conversation, Aethel. Note this. That's so dumb, it's amazing. Yeah, fuck it. As you mentioned, As you spot Emile Scott and say his name out loud, Emile Scott appears as if from nowhere. You actually find him, the book, and the human male, which I think you may know the name of now. You find the three of them talking together, sitting around a table with large sheaves of paper in the training room.
What is the name of the human male?
Soren Arkwright.
Oh, okay. Not Tim. Gotcha.
No.
Squaz is like hesitantly walking towards the table where they're all at.
They don't really seem to notice you.
Zoltana's gonna like stomp on over. Not like actively stomping, but like she stomps when she walks.
You have the elf boots on.
Despite the elven boots, they cannot contain the glorious nature that is Zoltana Thunderheart.
I don't think you understand, like, how heavy my armor is. Like, the elf boots don't, like, they kind of help, but they can't do much for me.
That's like if you put
slippers on to be quiet while you were wearing,
plate armor.
I like to think that you bought her very comfortable shoes that happened to be very quiet, and Zoltana disliked the fact that they were so quiet, so she stuck tacks and rocks into the bottoms of them.
Oh my god.
You know what? Yeah, that sounds about right.
Do these boots come in steel toe?
They do now.
Can I get boots of elven kind steel toe?
Steel toe edition.
Well, but no, it's just because like every time I roll a stealth, even though I have the boots of elvenkind on and I have them marked on my sheet, like, you know, I have a thing marked on it.
Yeah,
it doesn't do much. That's why I always say, like, I think that like Zoltana is just preternaturally loud.
That's totally fine. It will also not smother your loud talking or like you purposely like kind of or accident even like banging your arm against it. Like, it's totally fine. In that case, you two are definitely spotted making your way over to this table, and Emile greets you with a smile and a wave. The book's back is to you and you can just about see Soren's face.
Zoltana like kind of pops her elbow down on the table and leans in and is like, "Hey guys, what's up?"
They all nod and smile at you, and they all say hello in their various ways. And then the book says, "So what are you doing here? What can we help you with? We're kind of like super busy right now, just like we're doing a thing that actually kind of may help you, but we don't want to talk about it just yet in case, well, we need to get certain things like nailed down. So we're kind of busy. What can we do for you though?"
You guys know about Vinranra, right?
The three of them like exchange glances and kind of shrug. The book, however, turns to you, like full on turns around and looks at you and says, "Well, I know about Vinranra from like certain Dragonborn have passed away who like had a lot of interaction with them. So I can probably tell you a fair bit."
No, we know him and we're going to go meet him as soon as possible.
Oh my god, you're gonna go meet a dragon?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. As like Soren puts a hand on her arm to like, shh, sorry. There's no one here. And indicates the completely empty training room.
But he may have been badly hurt recently and we need him to not die.
The three of them look at each other. "So what can we do for you?"
"We're working on a potion that could possibly help a full-blown dragon." And Squash looks over at Emile. And if Emile is looking at Squash, Squash will instantly break eye contact away. "We need to make a potion and eye contact broken. We need talented alchemists."
How close are you to Emile?
I would say that I was dumb enough to like get up to the table where he is.
He reaches out and puts a hand on your shoulder, not knowing any better, and says,
"Yes, I will come help. All you ever had to do was ask. Excuse me, continue on without me. I think you're right. If we use one of us as the focus, it should work."
And he stands up and he looks at the pair of you and says,
"So, Squash, where am I going?"
Well, we know there's a lap, or probably a lap, up on the surface, but I think there's also a lap down here. I think we're...
Emil, like, gestures to the alchemist lab, kind of behind him.
Oh, okay, we'll just bring everybody here then. I assume you probably have the most stuff.
Not exactly. These instruments are old, even by my standards. I assume if there is somewhere on the surface to work, that they have ingredients. If it's for a dragon, they'll need some important, difficult-to-find things and newer equipment.
Oh, yeah, we're gonna need to run to get some ingredients. That's definitely a part of it. If you just follow us to the surface, we'll meet up with Laffy in there, and we can figure out what we're gonna do next. Thank you, Emil.
No problem. Everyone is doing what they can.
And he kind of like gives you one of those like grim, like forced smiles.
All right.
It's because he said
then
my name.
The three of you
fucking hates me.
Laughing. The three of you can make your way out. You hear Soren and the book beginning to talk, whatever it is that they are talking about. And the three of you make your way to the surface and will conveniently past Ama and Ral, who may or may not have a tabaxi in tow. Ral and Ama, you look pretty much everywhere while the other two are very quick to find Emil. It takes you a little bit longer to find your tabaxi friends. Your tabaxi friend is, in fact, in bed asleep like every rational person at this time of night.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
What do you want to do?
Is he purple while he's sleeping?
Oh.
Is he one of those?
Yes. Yes. But they're like really deep.
Ra goes up and kind of, I imagine they're kind of low beds to where Ra can like sit Indian style on the floor and have his head up at like the same level, talking level.
Yeah, like it's just like a little bit above you. But yeah,
Ra will kneel down and kind of gently shake his tabaxi friend's shoulder very carefully. Trying to gently
as you kind of like gently wake him. He doesn't seem happy to be disturbed from whatever it was that he was dreaming about, and his eyes begin to like flutter open. Ugh.
Hi. Sorry to wake you up. And Ama cannot understand Ra because Ra's being very, very trying to be nice, and he doesn't realize that he's speaking in this person's language. I can't remember what we call it. Kino. Not Kino, but
Kino
old,
common.
old.
It's like old common.
Yeah, he's speaking in oldies right now, so.
Trying you to can be speak delicate. Any language now, can't you?
I can speak, cannot read it.
Perfect. And then we have Laffian who can read but not speak,
connect
correct?
To the
No, I can...
People.
I can speak and anybody will understand me.
Okay.
But I have to spend...
But you won't be able to understand them.
No. I gain the ability to understand any language I hear or attempt to read. In addition, okay. When I speak, all creatures that can understand a language understand what I'm saying, regardless of what language I use.
Okay.
I don't know if technically the thing says that I can speak all languages, but it means the same thing. I don't
it's
know.
It's the same bloody thing, yeah. The pair of you have universal translators on. That's kind of the equivalent of what's going on here. In that case, you would understand his first utterance, which was what? What time is it?
Early. I have someone important that might need help.
I need sleep. Sleepy time now. And he kind of like grabs the duvet and like, or whatever the blanket is, and like begins to pull it up a little closer to his head.
You can probably sleep when we get there, but we might have to travel soon. I was wondering if,
Well, how are you
speaking my language. And he kind of like has that sleepy realization that something is wrong here.
What?
You never spoke my language. How? And he seems to be waking up a little bit more.
I did not know that I was.
Yeah, that makes sense. Where am I going?
Probably something to do with the specters. So, okay. I need to make probably a really big potion. I have a list of ingredients, and Rob pulls out the list of ingredients. And it's kind of like offering it, but more showing him, like, this is what I've got.
Really big potion. And he kind of like sits up a little bit and like takes the potion list, the ingredient list from you. And it's like, Ral, is this for something very big with wings?
Ral. looks like he's been caught and he didn't want that information to come across. And slowly nods. Yeah.
I'm going to need a persuasion roll.
Okay.
This dude has just woken up. This is a lot to throw at a guy who's just woken up and realized someone is speaking in a strange language to him.
Name is okay. Just staring the whole time like, what the fuck is happening?
I don't understand. Ral, what are you? Stop hissing at him.
Ral, put your tongue back in your mouth.
It's a 22.
Hey.
Yeah.
His eyes, he like does that thing where he kind of like tries to force his eyes open a little bit to kind of wake up. And he says,
no.
I think this is for a dragon. Are you sure?
Rawl kind of looks away for a moment and swallows nervously because, like, honestly, just met him. But he returns his gaze and nods again. He was hurt fighting one of the people doing all of this mess.
Okay. I will help in the morning. Sleep time now.
Okay.
Are you about to say I have to go now?
I don't know when we're leaving. We need to leave soon. Right now, I think we're just trying to gather these ingredients.
Okay.
The ones we can find here. You'll need to wear warm clothes.
Why?
He looks genuinely shocked.
No.
It's a little trip, but we will be back, and we have been assured that we could travel safely and back.
We, as in you and me.
As in a couple of us that are helping him, yes.
You want me to meet a dragon?
Like I said, we've been assured everyone's safety.
Okay. I guess I'll... Okay, then I will probably need to get some things together and I will start on this potion. Yay!
That's the spirit.
He kind of like... He stands up and like pulls his trousers up and like pulls this like shirt over the top and he's like...
Rawl gives him a hug.
He doesn't return it as affectionately as normal. Yeah.
No, Ross just excited.
But he does at least appreciate it. I will be in my lab when...
Okay, I think...
I will...
We were looking for there. More alchemists to help. I don't know where they are right now.
Oh,
but,
thank goodness. This is a big potion for one. Great, okay. Who are the others? Is the... Is the tiefling lady going to help?
I think so.
Kythea. Okay.
And
she's smart.
They were looking for Emil, and they were looking for someone who just set up in town that Balance knows.
Okay. Well, I know where the new potion master is. I'll go find him.
Okay.
He takes the recipe from your hand, and that's when you see, like, your companions and Emil, like, leaving the training room. There is a small exchange, and your tabaxi friend can take Emil up to the surface without everybody leaving. So, coincidentally, about roughly the same time, everyone else can meet back up and have all the potion masters go off in a good direction.
Wonderful. We've assembled the...
the Council of Alchemists?
The A-team for Alchemists.
The Council of Chemists. The CCs.
Okay. In that case, so far as you know, the potion masters are working on the potion.
All right.
What do y'all want to do now? Yes. They're doing what they can right now. They're deciding how they're going to tackle this problem. Whilst also trying to convince Reki that this is a good idea and that dragons are real.
Listen, I'm sure Emil can just be like, listen, you've seen one crazy thing. You've seen them all.
Listen, kid, dragons were dime a dozen when I was a kid. Just get over it. Yeah,
you talk to Miracle once, you've talked to him 1,000 times, you know, like, whatever.
I wonder if the tabaxi has seen any dragons, because they're old. Oldies.
Yeah. Like, their armies was frozen in time 5,000 years ago, and that was roughly when the previous war was, so.
That's true.
High chance that he would have seen a dragon.
Oh, shit, you're right.
Hence why he figured it was a dragon potion.
Although the only difference is back then, rodeo. The dragons were,
just not generally not good.
Yeah, yeah. Not so good.
I was not going to tell him, I was not going to tell him. I was just going to say, look, I promise it's going to be okay. And then I was going to say, hold hands, let's go. And then we were going to be there, and right. It was going to be a thing.
So we have the four of you and Aima. What do you all want to do?
This is the part where I forgot things.
It's super late at night. Like, the responsible response may just be going to bed.
But we just woke all these people up.
Yeah, but that's their problem. You still need to be fresh to do your part of the chores.
So if I'm understanding correctly, they're right now parsing through the potion document. Sorry?
Sorry, I thought you were talking about where the alchemists were going. Like, most of them are through the sewer right now.
No, so if I understand correctly, the alchemists are gathering together and they're going to try to figure out how to make the potion. So we're basically waiting on them to tell us exactly what we need to get so we can finish the potion.
Yeah.
Because then we need to teleport to Daemarius.
As soon as the potion is ready.
Are they taking turns sleeping?
I don't think they're going
to
sleep.
And had to. Because Emil doesn't need to sleep.
Probably not.
And
you'll have to ask him.
Tabaxi friend was already asleep and could probably
you woke him up. Sleeping. Yeah, good job. Reki has not been to sleep yet.
Yeah.
Because he was working right into the
night. We have various levels of sleep that our alchemist could probably rotate on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like they're coming up with a plan.
Okay, because Rob will stay there and do whatever resting he can, but be there to, you know, help if he needs to,
yeah.
I guess.
I don't have anything
to do outside of here, like, I think.
Three of your four alchemists know where you are. Like, it's fairly easy. So yeah, Raoul and Aima can go rest. And we'll deal with your role in the morning. Lafian?
I don't know. I feel like I should be doing more, but I don't know what more to do.
Well, you can definitely sleep. That is an option. I mean, you do have books. Have you made any promises to anyone that you want to keep?
Okay. All right. Why are you trying?
That's specific, V.
Why are you? That is very specific, V. Did I? Did I? And I don't remember.
Did you? Your quest log.
No, you tell me. I'm hitting J to open my quest log, V. Is there a quest that I may have forgotten?
All right. Let me see what I have in your notes. Everyone has a bunch of random quests all over the goddamn place. You, like, your singular real big quest that you had outstanding from season one is to get Talvin's Jaroi thing to Ninverna, but you are nowhere near Beligbud or when Ninverna is. That's,
what
that's
am I getting
basically
to
all
Ninverna?
I had in your quest log. So when you met Talvin under the family tree, he gave you something to give to Ninverna.
What did he give me?
I think it was a ring.
Fuck, I didn't put that on my character sheet. Hang on, I'm gonna fix that right now. Shit.
You're gonna mess up his whole proposal, dude. Now they'll never get married and it's gonna be on your conscience.
Forever. You know, I'm pretty sure that if I die, I'm just not gonna have a conscience anymore. Because I'll be dead. And the world
well,
will just...
you'll be in the stalking plane.
Listen, what do you think ghosts right. are? Ghosts are just your conscience flying around outside of your body. Hi, isn't welcome to Casey Talks About Ghosts.
I'm pretty sure that's just
the alternative
projection.
Name for this episode. yeah, like there are options when you kick the bucket. Also, you have friends who can revivify. So
okay,
so long as you and Zoltana don't go down, you're probably going to be okay.
All right. I put that down.
You have two gems between.
Actually, I do know something that Leffy wants to go do.
Sure.
He's going to go check in with Menmark, the dwarf envoy that. Rowena had sent.
She is also, like every reasonable person here, asleep.
Right, as they would be.
Yeah.
I'm okay. All right. Well, I'm not going to be that asshole.
You can see that Menmark is here at least. Let's put it like that.
Is the other dragonborn still here?
Nope.
The white one?
Nope.
No. They left.
Yes. They went back to their family.
Okay.
Perhaps you'll see them in Daemerys.
I hope
Fuck
not.
I hope not.
Well, that's one way to guarantee you'll see them again.
Oh, shit.
All right.
I don't even know where we're going.
In that case, Laffian's probably going to spend his long rest reading through the Book of True Names.
Okay.
And obviously
I will
meditating.
Give you... Yeah, I will just give you like the gist. It talks about the idea that every object has like a true name, because in multiple languages, like a rose, let's use that example, a rose has many names, but it is still at the core what it is. And that's the essence of what a true name is. And it gets like long and overly complicated and overly winded, but you don't get to really the good bits in this book this evening. It talks a lot about like native languages, your own perception of yourself. So, for example, when you think about yourself, do you think about yourself as Laffin, or do you think about yourself as Balance, or do you think about yourself as the prince, princeling, I, you? Like, there's a lot of that involved. And towards the latter part of the book, it talks about the idea of soulmates and soul friends and how they can also affect your true name. So there's like a lot of like nitty gritty in it. And then basically, if you read this book again, I will tell you exactly how it works.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm trying to give over the idea that these books are really big and there is a lot of dud information in there, like most textbooks. So yeah, I don't want it to be an instant thing, but yes, you will get more information on this later. But that's kind of the essence of what true name is.
Gotcha.
Okay. All right. So you do that and meditate. All right. Raoul is going to sleep. Aima is nearby with sitting at the bottom of the bed or cuddling up to you. Either way, you fall asleep before she does. Zoltana, what are you doing?
I don't know. Do I have any promises I made that I can't remember?
Let's see. How many gods have you met and how many of them did you make promises?
You want to lead me a little bit? I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
I'm teasing
sure.
you. I'm sorry.
That's fine. Well, you've already done the main thing, which is trying to figure out how to solve Kalimorn. That was like your big outstanding quest.
I know I took out a book on how to do speeches, but instead of reading that, I am gonna go.
We're gonna deadlift it.
Oh no! I'm gonna go talk to Aima if she's not
okay.
busy.
She's not asleep. Like, you notice that Raoul is, and Aima is just kind of like curled up next to him, like sitting up a little bit. So she's still kind of like looking around and she seems to be deep in thought.
Hey.
Hi. How's it going?
It's okay. I just wanted to... I know we don't, like, know each other too super well yet, but I just want to check in because, you know, you just came back to life and everything, and I want to make sure that you're, like, handling it okay, I guess.
Any sense of vertigo, nausea?
She kind of puts her hand over one of Rao's ears so that even sleepy Rao can't hear what she's saying. And she says,
I have not been sleeping very well. I don't think that Bellum agreed with me. I'm glad to be back, but I've had some nightmares. I don't like it.
Yeah, I know what that's like. I don't sleep too well either. I feel like there's Zoltana's got to have like something that knocks her out, right?
Yeah, honestly, no.
Zoltana punches herself to sleep every night.
No, there are medications and drugs out in this world that you could take to like put yourself to sleep. You've actually had some already. Not Dragon's Sad. That's the bad one. God's Dream.
God's Dream. Yeah.
You could take God's Dream. That would help for sure. Otherwise, it could just be like the traditional things of reading a lot, walking around a lot, trying to meditate, like that kind of thing.
Listen, have you tried God's Dream?
I have done a few times, but not since I've been back.
I could probably get you some.
I don't want to accidentally dream. I know that sometimes God dreams can go a little bad, and I don't. Bellum is bad enough. I don't.
That's fair. Well, listen, if you ever are having trouble sleeping and you want like a late night buddy,
I would appreciate that. It's not good to sit and think alone too much.
Yeah. But if you do want to talk, we can't be near Raoul because I can't be super quiet for long periods of time.
And she just like gestures to the armor everything she's still wearing. Yeah, like Aima smiles and nods and she says,
I know, he's also a little bit sensitive to my voice, so I try not to. It would be good.
Yeah.
Perhaps in a day or two. I'm just getting used to having Rao back here.
And you can see like she like hugs him a little bit tighter.
Aw, that's so cute. Zoltana smiles and she's like, okay. And she's like, I'm glad that he has you back and that you're back in general. And she goes to wherever she sleeps and is awake for a couple hours and then probably finally like goes to sleep.
As you kind of begin to fall asleep, I would like you to make a religion check, please.
I got a 21.
Damn.
21. Goddamn.
Well, yes, goddess
damn. On a 21. Goddess damn. I apologize. Goddess damn. As you kind of like, as you're laying back and your eyes are just kind of staring at the ceiling, just thinking or praying to Odette, you hear kind of what sounds like whisperings in the back of your mind. Just very quiet talkings. And then you hear a voice come through pretty clearly. It's a voice that you recognize pretty much instantly. You shared brain space with her for a couple of days.
Oh.
You hear an Inverna's voice. And she says,
Zoltana, I hope this finds you. I hope that you're listening, that you can. Even though you're not up there yet, I just need your strength right now. I don't know how I can keep doing this without Tarvin, but I guess it's that rage that's fueling me on. And I guess I just want to know I'm not alone. That's it. I guess see you soon, buddy. And that's all you hear. Do you want to respond?
Can I send her my strength?
Yeah,
I will do it.
What would that feel like to her?
20 points of it. Just all.
No. There doesn't be any meta in this evolved at all. Just tell me how it feels for Kythea. For
Ninverna.
Ninverna to feel like your strength. What does that feel like to her?
It is a fiery, burning rage.
Beautiful.
It's like drinking a monster energy drink while you're like, I don't know, like deadlifting is what it feels like.
Okay, all right. From like, because she's definitely a mage. She's definitely more like now become a different type of like warlock.
It's when the pre-workout
like,
kicks
like
in.
Divine soul warlock. Yeah, she's like, wah! Like she has that feeling, even though she's a mage, and she feels like that surge of magical energy because of what you sent her. You feel that she can feel this. You know this, and that's the prayer you get this evening. Okay, cool, Squash. Yes. Is there anything you want to do this evening, or are you just going to go to bed?
Squash has nobody he's going to contact this late at night. He's just going to retire to wherever he tends to sleep. I think it's just the bunks. The bunker.
Yeah, yeah.
And his intention is to get out the book that Demi had, that he found from Demi.
Okay. Yeah, you go into the you basically pull it out of the bag of holding.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you studying? I'm assuming this is your path now.
Yeah. Well, Squash wants to learn a little bit more about magic. The receptionist, his name is
Trempel,
thank you. Said that Squash needed to know at least a little bit about magic before he'd help him at all. So
okay, yeah, that's true. Yeah, Trempel's like, I'm not going to teach a noob how to cast magic he shouldn't know how to cast. Yeah, that's
so. Squash is going to start working through the book, the Magic for Idiots book that Demi had written.
Well, I'm not. Okay. All right. What? Okay. I need to open up the Great Experiment in Magic. It's not technically magic for idiots.
I can show you spectre magic.
I can show you brain magic.
You can hide things in the stocking.
Okay.
Brain.
So, you're going to be reading this book on magic. Are you going to start anywhere in particular, like high level magic, cantrips,
no.
Runes?
Squash is not crazy.
What are you looking for?
Squash is gonna work his way chronologically through the book.
Okay.
We're
right,
skipping
then.
The introduction, and this book is written by this person and it honors this person, and like, here's a quote from a random person you don't know but that knows the author. All that garbage? We're skipping that.
The introduction is literally that very first little bit that I read out to you.
I remember.
There is not, like, Demi is known for talking a lot, but there is not a lot of bullshit in this book.
No prologue.
I was making fun of...
Not much prologue, yeah. You've had the prologue.
I was making fun of real world books.
Oh, okay. All right, fine. Fine. Okay, fine. You bypass the intro, the dedications, which has, you know, beautiful words to Dana's like grandkids,
yep.
And her children,
skip.
And Dana's
fast
like
forward.
Love of her brother, and
Press
you know,
escape.
Talking about her friends, you know,
skip.
The people that she cares the most about in the world. But you're skipping past that. You don't care about that ever.
Escape, escape, escape,
okay.
Escape.
Holding
spacebar.
The very beginning of this book tells you about runes. It basically tells you how to construct them, what they look like. Like, if you're looking at it, you need to know some basic terminology. And that's what the first chapter of this book is about. It tells you about runes, and that is basically how they show the magics. It's how wizards learn. It is how they can interpret what is on a sorcerer's body when natural runes appear. There's a lot of, like, talking about that. Okay.
Squash starts reading through that, and I imagine that Squash doesn't waste a lot of time, and he eventually has in the bed that he's sitting in, he has the book open and has a quill and an ink, and he's like drawing the runes on his hands, like practicing to make like the right patterns, and he's like already
okay,
like in his mind.
Just using normal ink, right?
Yeah, yeah. I don't have access to any magical
okay.
ink.
Yep.
Wait, what
yep,
game did I have access
yep,
to?
Sure.
It's not this game. That I have.
No, it's not this one, no. Oh, no, technically you do. You know that you have, on top of Demi's desk, there was a
right.
ink.
No,
well,
Squash is not playing with that. That is fire. Squash is not.
Are you sure you don't want to play with actual magical ink?
No,
right,
no.
Okay.
Squash is just practicing like the runes, the patterns, and like doing that, like, what's it called? Like flip cards or something like that?
Flashcards.
Flashcards. He's like doing that, just using his like hand and like just trying to memorize and things.
Okay.
And as like the evening draws on and Squash can feel like his brain isn't operating anymore on the level it needs to be to absorb this kind of information, he's gonna sneak his hand into his backpack and he's gonna get out another God's Dream.
Okay. We've talked about using God's Dream as a study aid. It's a thing. It's not a wise thing. Not that Squash really knows that, because magic and this sort of thing shouldn't mix. It's not made abundantly clear in the book, but that may have been in the intro that you just decided to skip over.
Skip. Holding down space bar.
Okay. Where does your dream start?
Well, Squash is trying to remember runes. So.
Okay. May I?
Yes, please.
Okay. As you are looking at these runes and like trying to figure out, like, this is a part of the component, this is what it says, this part of the spell, this part of the rune tells you how to say something. As you do that and you begin to like drift off a little bit, your mind is still so focused on this that it just blurs through at quick speed. And sitting opposite you is kind of this charcoal drawing, which seems to be very animated. And it's of your friend Osmark that you drew in the closet.
Squash does the thing where you don't realize you've entered a dream, like everything just kind of blurs together and he's just like like quickly just goes into like, okay, Osmark, like which one of these runes meant magic again, because I know this one doesn't mean magic, but like
it's... Oh, silly Squash, they all mean magic. They're all different parts of magic. So magic comes in all these different schools, but really it comes from like your heart just here. And they tap over their like coal drawn heart. They tap that a few times. It comes from here, and it comes from your soul and your spirit and from your mind. There are people who can do magic from the mind. And it's all about studying things. But some people, they work on instinct, much like great singers can learn how to be good singers. Or they can just be naturally that way. That's what all of these different runes mean. These ones, and they kind of tap the book. It doesn't move, even though it should, because you're in a dream and you're still kind of seeing what's going on. They tap the book. It's like, and this is how wizards learn. Are you going to be a wizard, Squash?
I don't think I'm going to be a wizard, but I'm practicing to do magic. I'm going to cast the biggest spells. Again, this is like dreams where they just get fluid and don't actually make any sense and they're not actually attached to reality anymore. I'm going to cast the biggest spells and I'm going to heal Varonra, and I'm going to go to all the planes of existence. And for that, wow. I need magic. I'm going to save everybody.
Sure, that'll be real. Then you'll be a real hero and an adventurer.
Yeah, we'll be heroes.
I wish I was with you.
You're gonna be with me because we'll be magic.
Okay, well, to do that, we have to study more magic.
Right.
And Osmark will very excitedly talk you through runes.
Right.
I am not gonna do that.
Oh, are you sure?
As it hits towards the end of your of like the dream, like just before you're beginning to wake up, or just before you slip into like proper unconsciousness where you aren't dreaming, Osmark suddenly reaches forward and you feel like a kind of like very like coal-like substance on your shoulders. You can just feel it through like your whatever it is that you're wearing, and he says, "But you have to remember things about magic. They always cost things. Bye."
There's always
and
a sacrifice.
Squash, in line with what is happening to Squash, you are going to lose your advantage on initiative.
Oh. Oh, you bastard.
He says that like, I haven't told him this is going to happen.
I've forgotten how soon and quickly it happens.
All right. That's the first part of what it is that you're going through removed from your character. So...
Hello, and thank you for listening to episode 141 of The Lucky Die. Yeah, we've gotten real far, and there's a lot to say. But I want to start by thanking Kessie and Jay for their voices as Lisbeth and Emil Scott, respectively. And I want to thank our newest patron, when this is recorded, Sir Newton, Thank you very much. If you ever want to get in contact with us, you know that you can contact us through the email, theluckydiepodcast@gmail.com, and we respond to all and every message. It's really nice to see you and react to people. Other than that, I just want to encourage everybody to check out our Discord. We're very active there. It's very fun. And yeah, stay tuned for a little ad read with V. So, bye.
Hey everyone, it's V here, and I have my buddy Ivor.
Hi there.
Tell us a bit about your show, Ivor.
We are a brand new Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition podcast. We'll be playing through the Rime of the Frost Maiden. We'll be leaning into the horror aspects and the bleak, frigid north of Faerûn. But there are 6 of us in total, me and 5 players.
You are incredibly brave.
I'm incredibly filled with regret.
You're a very brave person. So where can we find you online?
You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Beyond Dice Pod. We are Dungeons Beyond Dice, anchor.fm/Dungeons Beyond Dice.
Your cast are from England and?
England and various countries through Europe.
Go check out Ivor's show, and I'll put links in. I'll ask Neil to put links in the show description.
We bow to she who wears the crown. Let the world shiver with dread. Clad in winter's whitest gown, her snow enshrouds the dead.
Sovereign of summer's lost, general of winter's war, long live the queen of cold and frost. May she reign forevermore.
Dungeons Beyond Dice, an actual play podcast, coming to your ears February 3rd.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my 2 wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.